Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast special edition, where two adult daughters have gone international. I'm Jasmine.
I'm Michelle.
And we're here with a very special guest today. I did that very dramatic introduction. We're here with Cara, who has actually been to Nara Dreamland and has explored it and reached out to us, and we wanted to interview her.
Also, hello. She's alive, so she didn't die, so that's good.
Yeah, she is very much alive.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Cara.
Hello.
And she's from Australia, so she sounds cooler than we do, at least to other Americans.
Uh-huh.
Yes, unlike how I feel I sound to other Australians.
Well, yeah, over there, it's just like, that's just how everybody talks. It's not as, but here it's like, oh.
So exotic.
Actually, you're lucky. I have a very light Australian accent compared to some people, so I could ham it up. But.
Anything I know about Australia, I know from Chris Lilley, End of List.
Well, everything I know about Australia is from Finding Nemo.
Oh, so both very accurate sources.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
definitely.
So, Cara, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Great. My name's Cara. I'm from Brisbane in Queensland, Australia. I am a huge fan of Disneyland, specifically the theme parks, more so than, I mean, I love Disney movies and everything, but I am obsessed with Disneyland as a concept. And I found you guys through just randomly on Instagram. And yeah, I've really been really enjoying your podcast because I really enjoy all the really nerdy, like, history of all the rides and, you know, stuff that used to exist that doesn't anymore that only hardcore nerds kind of know. So yeah.
Yes, all of our very accurate facts.
Yeah, we should probably take this opportunity to apologize for everything we've ever said, but we're so glad that, thank you for listening. That's so nice of you.
And thank you for reaching out and sharing your experiences with us.
No worries.
So first, we just wanted to know, how did you originally hear about Nara Dreamland, if you remember?
Wait, did we tell people what we're going to talk about? I forgot.
Oh, we're going to talk about, yeah, Nara. You've been to Nara Dreamland, Cara.
Yeah.
And you went during the abandoned time. Mm-hmm. So I'm just jumping the gun here. And we just wanted to talk to you about your experience going. And I know your husband also took some pictures when you were there.
Yes.
And we will first talk about the pictures. I looked at them. They're amazing.
Oh, so, I'm so jealous.
So how did you hear about Nara Dreamland?
Well, I think we already knew about it for a while because my husband and I we're not urban explorers by like any extent of the imagination, but we love the idea of abandoned theme parks. Like my dream is to, if I ever was rich enough, to open a theme park that was abandoned theme park themed theme park.
brand new abandoned theme park.
Yeah. So we already had an interest in that and we've always looked up pictures of it whenever people post it online. So when we were planning our trip to Japan a few years ago, we decided we would see how likely it was that we could actually get into Nara Dreamland. And we did a lot of research, but we just ended up just kind of going and winging it on the day.
Oh, that's so cool. So were you staying in Tokyo or were you just kind of going all over Japan?
We did kind of all over the southern island. So like Tokyo, Osaka, Hiroshima, and Kyoto. But we went to Nara via Osaka.
Oh, did you go to Universal Studios?
Of course I did.
Yay!
Was Back to the Future there?
Yes, it was. It was still there. And I had to walk through the Minions gift shop, which made me furious. And now it's apparently a Minions ride. I'm so angry. I don't want to go back ever again.
Boo.
But have you seen their Harry Potter parade? It is so dope.
No.
And they have Jaws.
Yeah, the Jaws. We went the Jaws ride. That was so much fun because my husband is obsessed with Jaws, and like he even had a Jaws wallet at the time. And like we went and got a photo with our head in Jaws's mouth, and all the cast members there were like so stoked that we were so into it, and like everyone was clapping and cheering on the ride. It was intense. Like they are so into it.
And the Jaws there like really gets out of the water. Like the one in Florida kind of lunged forward. That one kind of like it looks like it goes up.
Yeah,
it's just very like, hello, I'm Jaws.
Everything was like a little bit more exaggerated, and like the person like taking us on the boat, she was, you know, proper acting, like screaming and shooting, and oh, it's so good.
So we need more of their skipper. Well, I guess we need to build a ride here again, then bring some of their skippers over.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Now, so much needs to happen.
Now I just want to talk to you about Universal Studios Japan, but we'll save that for another time.
I was about to say, let's next time.
Yes, we'll do. Tell us about every cool thing that I will probably never get to do.
Okay.
So So you said that you did research. What kind of research did you do? Like, were you on Reddit? Were you like, where were you looking for stuff? And wasn't it English? Like, tell us everything.
So we just, I guess, just Googled and found anything that was in English we could find that would talk about how they got in. And, you know, they didn't, it wasn't really specific because urban explorers are kind of overly secretive about, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they don't want, you know, schlubs like me going in and like, cause yeah, Nara Dreamland's been vandalized a bit and they don't want more people doing that. But yeah, there was a few things that kind of talked about guards and stuff. So we were actually, that's why we're quite scared about going, because the way they talked about it, there was a good chance we were going to be busted and like carted off to jail or something.
I think the guards are so interesting, and I always wonder how real it is, because I've heard a lot of stories of people, they mentioned the guards and that made them cautious about going in. And then there's even stories that a few people got arrested. But out of all the people I've heard of who went, I don't know if anyone – did you see any guards when you were there?
Absolutely none.
Yeah, I don't think – I think that's like a myth that they had, like, oh, there's guards there. There were no guards.
So we had nothing. There was nothing there. And the way we kind of rationalized it was – why pay this much money for guards when as we were exploring the perimeter, there were big holes in the fence? You'd think having a better fence would be cheaper than hiring lots of security guards. But also some friends went about a year or so after us and they did see a guard, but he was easy to avoid.
Easy to avert. So that leads me to my next question, was how did you get in? How did you figure out where to get into the fence?
So because we're wusses, we were just like walking around the perimeter and we found a part of the fence like on the backside that obviously people had been climbing over because it was like dipped right down. So my husband went that way and I was a bit too nervous, so I stood outside and he was gone for about half an hour and I was freaking out. So I ended up walking a bit further around and I found a big hole in surrounding a gate. And so I just kind of walked in and I could see there was two abandoned cars and it was like a little car park, like I think staff car park. And I walked in, then my husband came out and he was like absolutely breathless. He's like, you know, exploding with excitement because he had just gone around and snapped a bunch of photos and seen, like, he saw the roller coaster and the teacups and a whole bunch of the rides. So that's where I decided to go in. And we, yeah, just mostly wandered the main street because we actually had a date to meet someone, a new friend back in Osaka in a few hours. So we actually, because we, you know, wasted a lot of time panicking, we just didn't have a lot of time to actually explore. But yeah, it was actually, we just kind of walked in.
Wow.
I just think, like, any video I saw, there was abandoned cars. And I just think that's so odd. Like, not like cars like that were part of any ride, just literally like someone drove their car and left it there.
Yeah, because that's not a thing you see anywhere in Japan.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's such a clean country. Like, abandoned cars are just not a thing. And then there were like a couple with smashed windows at the theme park.
It goes to show you that youths anywhere are the same and they want to destroy everything.
Youths anywhere are the same in that they're the worst.
Yes. Sorry, youths.
So, Kara, when you're walking down Main Street and you see that castle, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What was like the energy when you're walking down Main Street?
I was, you know, the adrenaline was pumping because there was still the fear that there were going to be guards. But I don't know, it was just, it looked better in real life than it had in all the pictures because I guess we were there. Like, it is run down, like all the windows and stuff are broken. There's a fair bit of graffiti, but it could have been worse. Like, I imagine if it was in America or Australia, like that place would have been absolutely trashed and demolished.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, because the Japanese are a lot more respectful of property and things. So, yeah, it was like, and lots of weeds growing. But to me, like, the more derelict it looks is actually the cooler it looks. Like, yeah, people complain that, urban explorers complain that it's been vandalized, but I actually think that added a lot of a good feel to it. So, yeah, it was just amazing.
I was surprised by the lack of phallic signs, because if this was in the US, they would be everywhere.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, in Australia too.
Just on everything. I did see one on a large statue of a man. They drew a very tiny one, and that amused me. So.
They were very polite about it.
They were. They're like, I will do this respectfully.
I'm going to disrespect you in the most polite way possible.
So did you go into any of the stores on Main Street?
No, because we were a little bit short on time by that point. My husband mostly, like, he ran around to a bunch of rides. I was going to go into one of the shops, but like looking through the windows, there was really nothing in there. Like, ideally in my dreams, like, I imagined that would like just be merchandise lying around that I could take, but there wasn't. Like, it was just, it was empty. Like, there wasn't even really racks or anything. It was just kind of empty rooms.
Yeah, that would be cool if you could just go and you're like, I'll grab a teddy bear, I'll grab this.
I know, I just had envisions of having this really cool Nara Dreamland shirt and just like, where'd you get that? I'm like, well. Although, when we ended up meeting our friend later that evening, we went to a bar and there was another Australian guy there who we just kind of happened to start talking to. And it was like a punk bar. So this guy was like a hardcore looking punk. And we were talking to him and we were like, why does your jacket say Dreamland? And he's like, oh yeah, I was there this morning and I stole it. And so we randomly met an Australian who'd camped nearby the night before because he had read the same things as us, camped there, and at 4 a.m. when the lights first came up, he snuck in and went like completely through it. And so the things that we missed, because we didn't have that much time, he like filled us in. Like, there were two like haunted house ghost maze kind of things. And like, he climbed, like, he actually went through and climbed like the roller coaster and everything like that. So even though we didn't do it because we're a bit wussy, like, we got to hear all about it firsthand.
You were still braver than I, because I just would have been standing at the gate going, well, I can't get through, so let's go home.
Well, there was a huge risk because I have like brightly colored hair. Like, I had hot pink and hot purple hair at the time, and I was wearing a black dress, but I was wearing like bright leggings and stuff. So, you know, my husband's a bit more discreet. That's why I was a bit nervous about going in, because I could be seen from a mile away. But we were, yeah, it was fine.
Did you see any of the I've heard people talk about they had like little plastic balls like that go in a play set. Did you see any of those?
No, I don't think we did. I don't think Ben did either.
I wonder if by that point a lot of things, because I heard stories over the years of people taking stuff. I wonder if at that point it had just been all picked over.
Most likely. Like, it was pretty bare bones. Like, it was just, from what I remember, was just buildings, weedy, overgrown paths, and yeah, just a lot of really boring graffiti everywhere.
What month and year did you go?
Oh no, what did I go? I've got to try and remember. Was it 2014?
And okay, so like 2 years before it was demolished.
Yes. Yes, we were very, very glad that we had the foresight to do that.
Yeah, because now I think it's just homes.
Yeah, May 2015. So, oh, okay. Like a year before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I was looking it up on Google Maps, and it's still – on Google Maps, it still has, like, a chain link fence around it. But because I wanted to see if there were apartments there. But alas, not yet.
Oh, yeah, because they're doing, like, old folks' home kind of thing there, aren't they?
On the ghost of Dreamland.
Yeah. It is like, that's the thing I never understood about why it was abandoned, because rides have such high resale value, because mm-hmm. I've looked into buying a theme park ride for myself. And
just casually.
I've told my husband, like, what if we could just get like a really small carousel? And we found one, and it was a 4-horse one, and it was like $30,000 Australian. We're like, okay, we're not doing that.
Hard pass.
But yeah, so they just leave it. Like, most theme parks, they sell them on, and yeah, just to leave it it's so weird. And the Japanese, yeah, it didn't seem like the kind of people who would be, I don't know, just seemed really weird.
I know that there was an abandoned theme park on the east coast of the United States, and they sold, even though it's still abandoned to this day, they sold off almost every ride. But so yeah, that's just strange. They just kind of left like the pictures I saw, they left like popcorn makers and like things you could have definitely sold.
Yeah. Like staff, you think staff would have taken stuff? Or
yeah, there must be a strange, deeper story. We must investigate.
We should go there and do a seance.
Oh, the ghosts of Nara Dreamland. So what was the strangest thing you saw, or like something that just kind of stood out to you?
Okay. I'm trying to think what I saw. I didn't see anything too strange. My husband went and he found just some of the rides, how they were abandoned and like how creepy everything was. Like, nothing specifically creepy. Like, I mean, if we'd seen the like the ghost train kind of ones. Apparently there's one had one with a big witch like over the doorway. But yeah, otherwise what we saw wasn't particularly creepy. I mean, to be honest, the deserted cars were kind of like so out of place that kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Oh, that's so weird. Was there anything that surprised you about the place?
Well, how easy it was to get into and how, yeah, there was just nothing there. So when we were wandering around, just mostly the main street, we saw two other people who they turned out to be Australian as well. Seems to be a thing. they climbed over the main gate and we could see them like across the way. We could see them across the way and they were like, look scared because they thought maybe we were guards, and we just ran over to them and they looked terrified because we were running at them. We're like, no, there's no guards here, it's fine. And yeah, they just literally climbed the fence on the front gate. And when you had a look, like the gate, there was actually a little step ladder that helped you get over a well-worn like dip in the like boards that they had up. So yeah, I don't know why they had any guards ever, because it was so easy to get into. And it obviously people were going in there all the time.
Well, and like, it's not like they just demolished everything. So I don't know if there was monetary value in it. Like, what are you spending money on to protect, except if you're worried people are going to get hurt?
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, maybe public liability might have been an issue, but then, yeah, patch up all the holes. Like,
yeah,
that would have cost them a couple hundred dollars and, you know, saved a lot of grief. But who knows?
I always thought it was so amusing that any Explorer video I saw, every single person ran into somebody else. So that's funny that you ran into somebody too.
Yeah. Just the amount of Australians who obviously go there is kind of wild, but Japan is very close to us. So I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah, for us, it's, I think, an 11-hour flight. So it's not, but for Australia, I think most places you have to travel pretty far.
Oh yeah. Very, very far.
Except, yeah, even to like the other side of Australia.
Yeah. It's like 6 hours.
Oh,
from one side to the other. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, if we go from here to New York, this is, now we're getting into really fun stuff. Travel distances.
That's what people come listen to us for.
It's like, I do that sometimes. I'm such a nerd. I look up and I try to figure out what's the longest flight from where I live. And apparently it's South Africa. Fun fact. So this might kind of go with the strangest thing, but was there anything you saw that felt really surreal?
I think just the fact I could see the roller coaster off in the distance and everything. It was, to me, it was just the fact that it had just been up and abandoned, and they could have resold things, and that it's been abandoned for so long. Like, it'd been, what, it was like 15 or 16 years or something?
Well, it closed officially in 2006, but they stopped repairing it probably in the late 90s. So it was kind of in a downward spiral ever since probably like 1998, 1999.
Yeah, that just, to me, and also like, because I am a big fan of Disneyland, it was pretty surreal seeing how close and yet not close it was to Disneyland, like that kind of uncanny valley kind of thing. Like, it's like a miniature Disneyland, like someone designed it just having had Disneyland described to them, like they hadn't actually seen it themselves, which is, you know, it added like that extra little bit of creepiness, and everything was, it was much smaller and much more compact. So yeah, it was like a tiny weird version of Disneyland.
That's the best description of it, like
tiny weird.
No, just like, I love the idea of like someone went to, it's like the New York Post, the John Mulaney joke.
Yeah.
It's like someone went to Disneyland and is just trying to text you the gist of it. Like, there's a street and there's 1920s houses and then there's a castle. It's like pink and blue. Go build a theme park.
Here's some pictures. Go nuts. We're going to make it taller than our castle. So you said you've been to Disneyland like quite a few times. So how close would you say it was to Disneyland, at least just the parts you saw?
I wouldn't say that close. Like, I imagine when they first opened, when it was like meant to be the next Disneyland, that it would have been more, but by the looks of it, it was, yeah. So we have a theme park here, like with an hour away from where I live, called Dream World, which is just like a generic theme park that has picked a few bits and pieces from Disneyland. So like, it has a main street, it has like a big water feature, and yeah, just it's picked and chosen. Like, some of the buildings have the same sort of look as on Main Street. So to me, it was kind of, I'm used to it because I go to Dreamworld a fair bit, that, yeah, it's kind of just reminded me of Dreamworld, and that it was, they just picked the things they liked from Disneyland and did a sort of half-assed job recreating it for a completely different audience.
Did you like get to see the castle up close at all, or was that too far down?
No, we didn't go close, but it wasn't actually that far. Like, definitely not as far as it is from the entrance at Disneyland to the castle, probably like less than half of that distance. So I saw it from a distance because, yeah, I just explored the shops on the main street.
Did it look like our castle, or was it kind of like, this is adjacent to Disneyland?
Adjacent, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it just looks so pink.
Yeah, and it was tiny. Like, it looked tiny without going up close to it. It just looked like a tiny little, yeah, they saw a picture of Sleeping Beauty's castle and were like, I think we can make this.
We got it, guys. Do you remember if the signs were in English? Because that was just something I saw a lot of pictures of, that the signs were all in English.
Everything in Japan has English signs, really. So, yeah, so they have the two different, oh my God, I'm showing my ignorance, the two different Japanese writings. So the more Chinese-based one and the one that you learn in primary school, and then English on so many signs. Like, it's only when you get into really more rural, out of cities, that you would find very little English. But yeah, everywhere you go in Japan, like, well signed in English.
Ah, because I thought, I'm like, oh, is this just a part of like Main Street? They're trying to make it look more like Missouri. But oh, that's interesting to know that. So did any, you kind of described, I don't like your experience getting in, would you say that was like the scariest thing that happened, was just waiting to see if there was any guards?
Yeah, well, the scariest thing was me just hovering at the gate waiting for my husband. And for some reason, one of our phones wasn't working. So, like, we'd been sort of piggybacking off each other's data. So with him gone, like, either he couldn't message me or I couldn't message one or the other. So I just had to wait until he came back. And I was, yes, terrified that he'd been captured and dragged away by some terrifying Nara Dreamland guard.
By Dory Chan, they kidnapped him and they're all rugged and like ripped, you know, army uniforms.
I just think it's so cool. Like, my thirst for Nara Dreamland is never quenched. Like, nope. I love Googling pictures of it and I can't believe that you went, and that's so cool. And you're very awesome. So, boom.
Yeah. Oh, so did your husband describe any of the things he saw? Like, you said he just ran around for 30 minutes, and like, did he climb up anything? Because that's terrifying to
me. No, he didn't.
Oh, good.
He went up to the roller coaster. Oh, yeah, I'm glad he didn't, because imagine breaking a leg in an abandoned theme park and like, we have to go admit to someone that what happens. Like,
we broke in.
Oh my God. Yeah, we broke in and we've broken our legs. So, good on us. No, he just ran around. So he just did it from like, he's went up to every single ride and snapped a bunch of pictures as quickly as he could. So he didn't explore too much. He was just determined, because he's a photographer as well. So he had his giant big DSLR camera and was just taking as many photos as he could, as quickly as he could, so he can get back to me and let me know that he's still alive.
Hi, I'm not dead.
I'm not dead yet. This is a really nerdy question, but this is what I was thinking. How long did it take you to get from like parking your car or getting to the location to walking to getting into the fence?
Well, we didn't drive at all in Japan. We'd gone to Nara primarily to go see the deer and see temples and everything. Actually, no, I lie. We primarily went to see Nara Dreamland, but we first went via all the deers and, you know, gave some crackers to deers and had a look at a temple. But then we just walked, and it was actually quite a long walk. Like, on Google Maps, it looked shorter. And because we thought we'd be sneaky and go around the back, it took even longer. So it was like an hour, like nearly an hour of walking, and it was a really hot day. So, yeah, by that point, I was like exhausted and nervous, and yeah, it was a lot. So that's why I think we didn't end up exploring as much as we would have liked, because it took so long and we're so beat that, yeah.
I heard stories of, even before the park closed, there were deer that were running around. So it's interesting to know Nara has lots of deer.
That would have been amazing. Yeah, it's famous for the deer like bow when you give them crackers. Very cute. But they're also, some of them really aggressive, and I got chased by a couple. Like, they start nipping you for the crackers. which is, yeah, it's really intense. So my friends who went like a year after us, so they went because we were like, go back, and we actually were like, okay, we didn't get to explore it really well, but we'll come back and we planned to, but then they announced that they were demolishing it. But our friends who went, they actually did the early morning thing and went, you know, at 6 a.m. and they spent, I think, 3 hours there. So we currently have a magnet on our fridge that's, what is it, number 13. So it's this magnetized number that was on like the cable cars or something like that that went through. And they nicked us a park map. They found a bunch of pile of park maps. And they, oh, what else did they take? They found a few things. They got a couple of those jackets like the Aussie guy we saw had, but they were the only ones left were so like weather ruined that they were kind of like crumbling. So we've put that away somewhere. Yeah.
I always saw people try to climb up and go explore the Skyway buckets, and that just looked terrifying to me. So that's cool. You have a little, like, so many pieces of the park with you.
Yeah. And like at first, you know, my first thought is like, oh, should people be taking stuff? But then when they just demolished it, I wish they'd taken more, really.
Yeah. You're like, take some popcorn machines. Let's take this car. Joyride. So do you have any final thoughts on your experience with Nara Dreamland?
Yes, I absolutely wish that I had have toughened up a bit and just gone in earlier so that I could have had, because I ended up probably being 20 or so minutes in there, whereas my husband probably had closer to an hour. And yeah, I just wish I'd been braver and just gone in with him and seen everything a bit closer. And I wish, yeah, we were able to have gone back and had a look. We almost, when our friends went back and they said, oh, we're going to go back to Nara Dreamland, do you want us to get you anything? We were like very, very like trying to work out if we could afford to go to Japan with them just so we could go back to Nara Dreamland. But we thought, no, that's being silly. We'll go back, you know, in a year or so. And then it closed. So,
oh no.
I know, we're so devastated.
At least you got to see it the one time though.
Yeah. Yeah. At least, yeah, I can say I've been in there and, you know, I got a pretty cool photo standing in under the big sign.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. So the sign was still up when you went there that said like Nara Dreamland.
Yeah. Yeah. It all looked, yeah, like so many of the pictures. And yeah, I was surprised it wasn't a bit more vandalized and ruined than what it was.
Yeah, and all the videos I saw, I think like a lot of the glass was broken, but for being abandoned for 10 years, I was just surprised that more was not broken.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, if it was in the US or Australia, yeah, it would have been like, and
dust.
Honestly, if I could have, I would have taken those big, like the where it says Dreamland, I would have taken like those neon signs.
Imagine like in your suitcase, like, I would like to check this one, D right here, R.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. You have to post the pictures of the stuff you have. Is that a crime?
Hey, it's gone now.
So. You didn't take it. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, what are they going to do? The grocery store chain will find out that bought them.
Yeah.
So that's so cool. So thank you for sharing with us. That just sounds amazing. I wish I could. Oh, and like what time of the day did you go? Did you go like in the morning, nighttime?
It was sort of mid-afternoon. So yeah, I think we got to the outskirts by like just after midday, and it took us like 2 hours of oohing and ahhing before we actually went in, so we wasted a lot of time. So yeah, it was like mid-afternoon by the time we went, and then we had to get back to Osaka for like 6 p.m so, and it takes an hour, so that's why we had to cut it really short. So it was late afternoon. I think if we'd gone in the morning and just really, but then maybe there was guards in the morning, so who knows, maybe we chose the right time.
I just saw a lot of people go at night and I was like, you guys are crazy.
No, it's clearly haunted. So
yeah. There was one girl in one of the videos who was crying because they wanted to go into the haunted house and she was crying at the thought of going in. It's like, don't make her go in.
Japanese haunted houses are intense. I went to one in Tokyo and it was proper scary. Like,
well, because a lot of them show like what they think hell is like, right?
Yeah. And well, the one I went to in Odaiba was there was a massacre at a high school and we had to go through and there was, you know, all the students were haunting it and it was messed up. So even if it was half as scary as that to me, it's really scary.
Yeah, the one in Nara Dreamland, it was literally like giant stirring a giant stew of humans.
Yeah. Yeah, just like they're, I mean, if you've ever seen any Japanese horror, like it is intense. It is big, scary ghosts who make me want to die.
And on that note, so is there anything, so what's the hashtag that your husband used to post his pictures? So if people want to see what he took.
It is jungles in Japan. So jungles, J-U-N-G-L-E-S in Japan.
And then is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, while I'm here, I also have a podcast that has absolutely nothing to do with theme parks or Disney or Japan or anything. But it is a movie reviews podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie with me and then we review it.
That is so specific. I love it. Oh my gosh, because I've only seen one Tom Cruise film and it is the one with Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
That's the worst one.
That's the only one I've ever seen.
You haven't seen Risky Business?
No.
What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
So the whole Tom Cruise obsession started because I saw Mission Impossible Fallout last year and I never even thought about Tom Cruise before that. And I watched that and I'm like, well, I love Tom Cruise. And so I think that movie is probably my favorite.
Oh, and what's your Instagram handle?
So for the podcast, it is Tom Cruise Reviews. The podcast is called Cruisin' for a Reviewsin'. but that made too long a handle. So yeah, Tom Cruise Reviews.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah, one time we're going to have you on and talk all about Universal Japan because I feel like everybody talks about like Tokyo Disney, which obviously I'm very excited to go to, but I'm really into Universal Studios Japan.
Yeah, it's very similar to other Universals, but also kind of creepy in that it is clearly, we're clearly not in America. We're clearly in Japan. And yeah, it's kind of the Uncanny Valley thing again.
And they have rides the longest, like they had Back to the Future, I think, the longest, and they had Terminator 2 the longest.
Yeah, because they don't like The Simpsons in Japan, like they do elsewhere. So they weren't going to replace Back to the Future with a Simpsons ride, so they had to kind of wait until they found something that made more sense to them. Yeah, same, and the Japanese are obsessed with Jaws, so the Jaws ride remains.
As they should be. Yeah. Jaws is the best. Thank you so much. So. You know all of our Instagram handles, everybody, 1313 Harbor the Podcast, Twitter, 1313 Harbor. You can email us, 1313harborthepodcast.com. And all who come to this happy podcast,
welcome!